What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees, Miami Hurricanes Football Barbershop Talk. The guys is back, fresh off a couple of commitments, moving up that class ranking just a little bit. We going to celebrate because we have a proven product. You know, no need to go back and forth with these other fan bases. You can remind them their last coach brought in a good class, too, for all that was worth. So none of that shit don't matter if you don't got proof of concept. We got proof of concept. So big dog barking right now, man. I ain't got to talk to the pups. If you insist, but I just think you do yourself a service to leave the puppies alone, man. They ain't off the porch yet, man. But got with me as usual, my main man, the real field general X. X, say what's up to the people.
What up, what up, what up? We good, we back. Got a good news over this weekend. Still some more good news that ain't even popped yet, but
yes, sir.
We here, man. We here.
Well, let's get into it. And then we got the one and only Chef D Rob. Chef D Rob, say what's happening.
What's going on, man? Man, it's a hot day, but the temperature cranked up real quick up here, man. So just stay hydrated out there in them streets, man. Cause boy, hey man, they dropping like flies, buddy. They so they dropping, man. They not drinking no water. Want to drink energy drinks all day?
Yeah,
cool that. The bad juju. Yeah.
Especially if you got PT and stuff, man. Don't be no damn fool. Them energy drinks ain't nothing but souped up sodas, dog. Ain't there nothing but drop a little crack in it. That's it, man.
that's it.
Put a little crack in the soda, call it an energy drink. And best marketing in the world, man.
Yeah,
we're going to get into it. Today, we just, you know, like I said, fresh off a couple of commits. Class moved up to number 3 overall composite, if I'm not mistaken. Big things moving, man. Things are looking great. So we're going to get into the class a little bit. But first, before we get into that, we're going to – D-Rod has brought us yet another keep 3, cut 5. I don't know what edition it is. So, D-Rod, what we got?
Yeah. So, you know, we come with our weekly keep 3, cut 5. But this week we are doing tight ends. Man, this is very interesting. I don't think we are going to have the same 3, but we'll go. All right. So,
you kicked anybody out yet? Off the
Nope. I didn't kick anybody out. Okay. I didn't kick it. Well, actually, no. The one name that I did leave off was Jimmy Graham, only because his impact was more in the NFL than it was at Miami. Yeah. I think at Miami he only had maybe 15 catches, something like that. It wasn't a whole lot.
He only played one year.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, it's like 3 guys on this list that really only played like 1 year. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, does that exclude them?
What did they do? Jimmy had his impact, though, even in them, like, even in just the 15. Yeah, how many touchdowns he had? He probably had
touchdown maker.
Yeah, I was about to say, he probably had 4 touchdowns, too.
Yeah, he probably had.
And like he's learning the game. So, you know, Jimmy had one more year to, like, come around. But I get what you're saying. Yeah, that's a decent cut.
Yeah. All right, so first name we have is David Njoku.
The Chief. Man.
Nah, I cut him. Gotta be able to block, man. Gotta be able to block.
That's, I'm not mad. I'm a cut, and it's because he dropped that touchdown to Virginia Tech, and I was there, and that broke my heart, man. I was like, and after that, it got ugly. he would have cut.
Oh, yeah. Too.
He would have cut loose, and it didn't happen, and it got ugly after that. So I like Njoku, but I'm a cut too.
Yeah, it was a cut for me also. I early on, I was debating, and then once I wrote all the names down, I was like, "Ooh, yeah, it's a."
He might be the best athlete right? on the list. He probably is. He probably the best athlete out of all the tight ends. But.
Yeah, I would say he's probably the best athlete because, like I said, I took Jimmy Graham off. I probably would have said Jimmy, but I took him off. Yeah. So yeah, I would say Njoku. All right, number two, we got Bubba Franks. Remember, he was an All-American.
Yeah, I'm keeping Big Bubba. I mean, outside of the 80s when we had what's his name? But yeah, Bubba kind of like traditionally started
that's
how you knew for Miami. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. I'm keeping Bubba. I'm keeping Bubba.
That's kind of my same train of thought. I like, yeah, Bubba kind of was the first to really get the train going. So I gotta keep Bubba too, man.
Okay. I'm cutting Bubba. Yeah, that's just me. I'm cutting Bubba. Kellen Winslow.
Damn. That's tough. And to go back to you saying the most athletic, I think Kellen right. Winslow was the most
that's
athletic.
That's what I was Joker. Thinking right after. Yeah, that once he said yeah. Jimmy, I was like, well, what about Winslow? Winslow.
Yeah,
super athletic.
I'm gonna just keep it a buck, and I'm gonna say what Winslow gave us 2 good years because he didn't play freshman year because he sat behind Jeremy Shockey.
Yeah,
yeah.
But we haven't had a tight end like Winslow, and that's including
nah.
Njoku and Arroyo. Like,
yeah, Winslow was kind of supposed to be Winslow because of athleticism.
But yeah, nah, Winslow could block, he could run and catch, and he was just a physical. Animal out there on the field, man. I mean, we all remember the quote, nigga, I'm a motherfucking soldier. Hey, that was like,
yeah,
we ain't know, right, that crazy. Find
yeah,
out
we ain't know,
was crazy
yeah.
for real. We crazy, just talking exactly. football. If we're keeping it football, yeah. What you got? You keep on excellent.
Damn, let me see because I know it's two more names I know he probably gonna call.
Mm-hmm.
That I have to keep.
We tight end,
but you know what. I'm keeping Winslow, man. I'm keeping him.
Oh,
if we talk about on field, yeah, we talk about on field production. I'm keeping him. We haven't had that like
got
since.
Got
okay.
Same way,
Larion.
Same way. Got to keep him, man.
Okay, so you keeping Kellen, right? So,
yeah, I gotta keep Kellen. All
right, so I'm cutting him myself too. All right, now Jeremy Shockey.
That ain't even no question. Like,
okay,
you don't keep Jeremy. I don't know what you. I mean, it's only one other name that's arguable.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is like, all right, but yeah, that's my three. My
okay.
three is Bubba,
keep it Jeremy,
Kellen Winslow, and Jeremy. Yeah,
I'm going to cut Jeremy only because uh-huh. I just have a personal. Like affinity for my last guy, just because
yep.
That was the first Florida State Miami game I got to go to, so my guy yep. and he did his thing there. So it's no slight to Jeremy because Jeremy's again we tight end you, so it's probably the toughest list you come up with, honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's no slight against him. It's personal. Like this list is gonna be like kind of who you like more than. Skill because
yeah
they all was amazing, you know, at what they did. So I'm a cut Shockey and that hurt.
Okay. That's my first one I'm keeping. Like I'm keeping Jeremy Shockey. All right. X, I know you got your three, but I'm still gonna run off the names and you get your opinion on just them in general. Chris Herndon.
Nah, I like him as a player, man. He did. Because he came in with, was it Wilford? No.
Wofford?
He came in with Wofford, right?
He was after him.
Oh, he was
I think
him.
He was right after
him.
He came, oh, you know what? You know what? He ended up coming in with, remember we had got the tight end from Louisiana.
Standish Dobard.
The Dobard, they came in the same class. They came in the same class. But Herndon ended up playing tight end a lot faster than Dobard, because Dobard, remember, they switched Dobard to defense at one time.
Yeah.
So Hernan had a, I mean, he had a decent, I say decent career, but yeah, I wouldn't keep him if I had, even if I had a room to get somebody, I wouldn't keep him there.
Yeah. I would have cut him regardless. He was like an H back, kind of tight end. Definitely played his role very well, ended up getting drafted to the NFL because of it. I think the Jets took him. They just took him somewhere like in the fourth round. So
Jets took him.
So he wasn't even like a super late pick, fifth, sixth, seventh round kind of guy. Athlete, believe he out of Georgia too, if I'm not mistaken. I think he
from Georgia.
Yeah,
actually committed to us over Georgia because everybody thought he was gonna go to Georgia.
Yeah, so. good player for sure. But yeah, that's a cut.
Okay. Next. Clive Wofford. Clive Wofford.
Clive.
Yeah, nah, I'm cut. He pissed me off in the Florida State game, letting that boy strip him.
Yep.
Nah, I'm holding that against him forever.
I'm with you on that. I had plenty because that's the same thing came to my mind.
Now, I cut him also, but I looked up. You know, he's the all-time leading receiver in Hurricanes history.
That tight end.
He has the most receiving. Yeah. Yep, that tight end.
Yeah.
He has the most yards. Though,
right? He played since freshman year, remember.
So. Yeah, let's say he played three or four, right? Yeah.
He played all four years.
Because most people don't. We were so down bad, you had to start him, and then it kept going. Yeah, he was good by the time he was a junior. He was a good tight end. And he got drafted, too, I think, Raiders, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Brevin Jordan.
Nah, just
I'm keeping Brevin. Injured, me personally,
injured too much. Man.
He did have some injuries, but at the same time, he's third in receiving yards in Hurricane history and second in touchdowns.
Another one that had to play as a freshman.
Yeah.
But that's not a knock. It's just
no.
Throughout his career, 3 years, you know what I'm saying? He was injured a lot, man. I can't, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like Le'Veon always said, man, you got to be available. You know, being available.
So he only played 3 years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 3 years.
Year one, he had 30.
Especially if you're keeping it collegially, Brevin, he had a hell of a, you know, he was hell with the ball in his hand. That's honestly who I expected Lofton to be. They from the same school, too. Wore the same number. Maybe he could do that this year. Maybe this is the year Lofton come alive. That's exactly who I expected Lofton to be, Elijah Lofton to be, was Brevin Jordan. Brevin Jordan, hell of a collegiate player. The only knock, the injuries. The injuries hurt him. Had he not been hurt, you know. He's kind of fit that same mold, too, because he probably, 6'2"? You know, he's not that proto.
About 230, 6'2", about 230.
Hell of a football player, man. He's still in the league.
Yep, and the thing, I think, like you said, if he went for the injuries, I mean, he definitely would have probably been the all-time leading receiver. And he had 13 touchdowns. He was third. You know what I'm saying? So, like, he definitely he would have had all the – I think he probably would have had the tight end receiving records as far as at the University of Miami. For tight ends, obviously, like I said, Wofford is one because he got 121. But like after that, I think he probably would have. I think he easily could have got that. You know what I'm saying? Because he was hurt, but he was also very productive when he played.
Yeah,
very productive. Very productive.
Correct. Yeah. And then his last name, I think you already know, Greg Olsen.
That would have been the other guy I would have kept, but. I already got my three. Everybody knows Greg Olsen is basically if you really grade best tight end just going off of what they've done on the field and meaningful games, you go on Jeremy Shockey, then you got Greg Olsen, then you got Kellen Winslow, like you got those three right up in the same atmosphere. And then everybody else, you pretty much saying, okay, well, a lot of them was good, but A lot of them ain't playing the meaningful games. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Those three playing then, meaningful games.
And then for me, it's like, and for me, it's like he did it when our quarterback played those years. We was there was god awful. Kyle Wright.
We had Kyle Freeman. Wright. What was it? Kirby Freeman. I was going to say Kirby. He had Kirby Freeman.
Kirby Freeman.
Like, who put Kirby Freeman on NCAA? Hey, on the game? Shit, I'll get Luke Freeman.
Yeah, on the game, man. He was all real. He made Kyle Wright, but he got him killed in real life, man. It was horrible.
Yeah, that shit was not it, man. But yeah, that was my guy. First Florida State game I had to watch. And he just, I mean, he was the offense. He was the offense, man.
Yep.
He was just out there. He showed me a lot of heart, solid hands, you know, good block. He's a kind of everything you want type tight end in the sense of if you're building a prototype tight end, he falls in that same category as a Greg Kittle, guy that does it all. So you can depend on the block, a legit route runner, tough as nails, man. I mean, you saw him in the league. He was all Cam there forever. You know, he was the only thing Cam had that was so
the only thing he had. The year that Cam went to Super Bowl, he was the only thing he had. Like,
You know, Ginn might make play him, and Ginn gonna drop one too. You know, it was, that was, Cam had a lot of bums around him, but he wasn't one of them. That's one thing I can say for sure.
Nah, great.
I remember I was drunk one time at the bar, and me and boys talking football, and we started talking about Kelvin Benjamin. And I was like, don't you ever, never bring that bum up to me and talk about, we were talking about Cam. I was talking about Cam ain't had no weapon. He said, Kelvin Benjamin. And to this day, we still got that running joke where we just send each other a text and say, bum. Bum. Nah. And then he really killed me on that corny shit when he was talking all that shit about Cam, like he ain't had no real quarterback, and then Cam just came to talk to him, and he wouldn't talk to him shit. I was like, wow, you on some real deal sucker shit, man. Man, you like a man to just say, yo, bro, what we doing? We don't do that in the media, da-da-da-da-da. But yeah, what it is. But Greg with the third leg, allegedly. That's what he said. I don't know. That's what he said in the rap. Pause. Sounds say, you know, I can't call it.
Yeah. And then, you know, I actually have one. It's one name that I also forgot. But, I mean, y'all probably weren't going to keep him no way. But just as honorable mention, Will Mallory.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that when him and Brad played together.
I would cut him as fast as, the light changes.
Will was like Jason Witten, man. No way.
He wasn't.
Yeah, you know,
Will is blocked.
Goddamn, like he running with Timberlands on out there. Now he gonna get the ball.
But Will couldn't block at all, man. I remember one game we was playing and Will tried to block, and the man, it's almost like the man laughed at Will and just threw him out of the way. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? Why is Mallory blocking? Like, yeah, I know he can't block, but.
But he got drafted off his athleticism too, because Will was.
Yeah, I mean, because he was a good a route running tight end. Will was he was that he could do that. You know what I'm saying?
I knew he wouldn't make it though. If we keep it in the game, I was like, yeah, he ain't gonna stick around the league. He wasn't where I was like, yeah, he gonna hang out. He gonna have a career. I knew he didn't have that type of ability. But you know, again, especially with him and Brevin, that was like a nice 1-2 combo at that time.
Yeah.
I was actually wishing that Brown came back one more year, especially because he was coming off the injury. And I was like, man, come back one more year, and I think he could have boosted his draft stock. Because I think he went fourth round as well, if I'm not mistaken.
Nah, I think Brevin went third round.
Third. Which, for him, actually, you think about it now, it probably don't change much anyways because he's only 6'2". So
yeah, he's not your traditional tight end, so he wasn't going to get – much unless he goes out there and have 1,500 yards receiving, and
he would have to go out of this world.
But
you know, that's what I think. Like for Lofton, if he has a good year, because that role for a fullback in some of these teams in the league, that's why I think he could have a shot. Like say my 49ers, you know, we got Juszczyk, but Juszczyk getting a little bit up there. So that's why I think you could see a guy like Elijah Lofton find a role with us or like the Ravens. I don't know, Dolphins now, they don't have Mike McDaniel. I don't know if they still use a fullback anymore. I don't know how their offense going to change up, but there's a few teams in the league still that use a fullback. The Bills use one. D-Rod, they do, don't they?
Yeah, they do sometimes. They do sometimes, but yeah.
Do a dual tight end?
No, fullback, the Bills. The
fullback, H-back, yeah.
Well, we used to, we had Reggie Gilliam, but he ain't with us no more. Like, we basically let him go walk them on this year. So we did use, yeah. We did use one, but yeah.
Yeah, that's what's up. Man, I got bad news on the NFL tip, man. And I traded Myles Garrett into my division early before we started recording. I'm like, this is some bullshit. And now they talking about Aaron Donald coming back. Nah, man, you good, baby. Don't lay up. What you doing?
But listen, listen, I wouldn't put it because he's still in tip-top shape. He still work out. He still work out like he do. I would not be surprised if he say, you know what?
And he just I'm coming 35. Back.
If he come, huh?
He just turned 35, so he still got another year to if he really wants to.
If he comes back, bro, the Rams going to the Super Bowl, bro. That's bro.
It could get ugly.
Cleveland is an organization that just don't care. They don't care.
Well, you know the problem was I actually think it was smart for Cleveland because they still failed to build a lot around Miles. So, like, he stayed loyal to the soil, and they gave him all the money in the world, but they still just struggled to put a good team all the way around, especially offensively. So, at this point, for them, it's like, shit, man, this shit ain't going to win nothing. Let's go ahead and get rid of the contract. You're getting Verse, who is nice. Verse nice.
Yeah.
And cheaper. And you got three more first-round picks. I'm like, it's actually not a bad move. It's not actually,
If they're going to get the right players, then yeah, but they just never do.
You're right.
So that's why I'm saying, like, they just an organization that don't care. Like, they just going out there just to go out there to collect and check. Yeah,
can't get right. Like, no matter what. I mean, you're looking at an organization that drafted Johnny Manziel in the first round. Like, it didn't make sense. Like, yeah, it was fun in college, but we've seen fun in college, better mechanics, more polished quarterbacks that we knew still weren't going to work in the NFL. Like the Cowboys offensive coordinator. What's his name?
Talking about the one who was
he the OC came from Boise? Or he was. What's his name?
Talking about one who came from Boise?
Yeah, Boise State. Yeah, I'm blinking.
Kellen Moore.
Crazy in college. We knew, like, yeah, he ain't going. He's not going to be an NFL guy. But he looked way more polished than the Johnny Manziel. Then they go, I'm like, Johnny Manziel in the first. Tim Tebow in the first. Come on, y'all going off of the bullshit hype. Like, let's keep it a bean. It's not no GM sat there, watched Tim Tebow throw a football and said, yeah, this is the guy that's gonna lead my team to championships. He had a horrible motion. Same thing for Johnny.
Yeah.
And Johnny was out there on that coat, wilding out, acting up, being a party animal. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's who Cleveland invested in. Brandon Tweedy. They got it year after year.
Yeah, I see that that was also like they know he was gonna put seats in the stands. You bring Johnny Manziel because, like I said, Johnny football. But I'm just saying, like,
that same effect. I don't think he had that same effect once they drafted him because they
animal kibosh that only robbed.
Nobody was talking about him. Nobody was really talking about Johnny.
I don't want to step on you like that, but that's probably the most loyal fan base in the NFL. Them and the Ravens, they really don't care how good that team is. They pulling up. They will pull up. That's one thing I will give Cleveland fans. Cleveland Browns fans probably the most loyal. Vegas. Vegas Raiders. I don't know how it's going to work in Vegas, but I know when they was in Oakland, Brown care how shitty that team is, them people showing up, and they will fight you over their 2-14 team. They're going to go to war about all that. So that's why you ain't worried about filling those seats. They're going to show up regardless. That's one reason I think Cleveland has kind of struggled as an organization is they don't feel the pinch because there are people coming out. Like Jacksonville will feel the pinch. Like they start getting pretty bad. People don't show up like they used to. You know, they got to actually get on some decent product or the people will kind of stop coming in. But Cleveland, man, they used to it too. Like being a Cleveland Browns fan, it gotta be easy. You don't ever expect to win nothing. It's like, shit, man, we just gonna go have fun, go tailgate. We know we ain't about to win nothing major, man. And they had what? Baker Mayfield finally got him a decent quarterback. They trade him. Can't get right, man. That's the can't get right organization of the NFL. It's insane. Real quick,
they before we get into two quarterbacks last year.
They gonna cut Gabriel, or they trading him. They not keeping him. It's been a two man show. Say it again.
They named Shador the starter. Have they officially went that route?
No. So I think that I don't think he's gonna be the starter. I think it's gonna be Watson. Watson's gonna start. Yeah.
Watson. Holy shit.
Yeah, Watson. Yeah, they say he's been looking pretty decent out there, because he took the full time to recover. He didn't try to come back too soon, which I wouldn't have. Shit, y'all paying me damn near what, 40, 50 million?
Watson, don't play football no more, man. I just he's been away from the game too long. Nah, Watson can't play no football, man. Push the door and quit playing. Yeah, see, this again, unserious. This is an unserious organization. And you looking at a guy, speaking with a guy that's a big Deshaun Watson fan, but you can't step away the game this long. Go through all of the mental anguish. And, you know, he went through a lot with that whole, you know, freaky massage shit. He never looked the same after that. Never looked the same after that. And then he's been away from the game for damn near 3 years. And now you telling me the best you got? I don't buy it. I don't buy it. This is a can't get right organization, dog. Real quick.
Yeah, the last
to the recruiting side of things. The finals is set. We got Spurs versus Knicks. Spurs got home court. So if it goes seven, it'll be last game will be in San Antonio. Who y'all boys got?
I'm riding with the Spurs, man. I hate everything about New York.
Syracuse, come on.
Well, that was Buffalo. That was Buffalo, man.
Oh, New York City. New York.
Yeah, that was Buffalo.
I feel you.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I hate the Spurs, and I'm gonna tell you why. First of all, I think that shit be rigged, man. Like, how you get Wimby, right? You get the number one pick that year, and it just so happened that San Antonio wins the lottery, right? San Antonio hasn't had a star or anything since what, Kawhi? Oh, yeah, because they traded Kawhi that same season, and then they ended up with the number one pick, right? Then you trade, like, you get De'Aaron Fox for two packs of annihilators and a bag of chips, right? When you could have easily been like, you know what, let me get Stephon Castle or something. You could have gotten a really good haul for him, but you didn't do that, right? So, I mean, I just don't like them, bro. I just don't like the Spurs, man. I don't like the Knicks either, but I'd rather the Knicks to win.
Who you think gonna win?
Personally, I think it's gonna be Knicks and seven, and I'm gonna tell you why. This is why, because they played twice already. Spurs beat them, and then they beat the Spurs in the NBA Cup. I think they can match up, like the starting five. I think they are a better matchup. I think if it had been OKC and the Knicks, I think OKC was gonna dog walk them people, because that's not a good matchup for them as far as with the two bigs.
Yeah,
with San Antonio, right? You have Wimby, you have Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not saying Karl Anthony Towns is going to stop him, but he damn sure gonna put a body on him. He gonna take them shots. He gonna keep Wimby out the paint, because that's what he does, right? Then at power forward, they have Champagne. All he do is just shoot threes. You have either OG Anunoby or you have Mikal Bridges that can do that. The same thing with the other spot. You got Vassell. You got Bridges or you got OG Anunoby, so they can really cancel each other out. Then at shooting guard, the Knicks has Josh Hart. Offensively, he can make a shot if you leave him open. He's not going to create his own shot. But defensively, he's a dog. And then for the Spurs, they have Stephon Castle as your shooting guard or whatever the case may be. And he can do his thing. Defensively, he definitely can do his thing. But what is his biggest problem? Turnovers. The motherfucker had like 20 something turnovers in like what three games at one point. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, and then at point guard, you have Jalen Brunson and you have De'Aaron Fox. De'Aaron Fox offensively, yeah, he you know what I'm saying? He can do his thing. Defensively, he's not really all that. Same thing with Brunson. Brunson defensively, he's not really all that. But offensively, he's gonna go get a bucket.
Yeah.
So and then off the bench. Yeah, and then off the bench, you can say that, okay, the Knicks have Mitchell Robinson, because he can come in and put a body on. He gonna put a body on Wimby. He can do that. And they have Cornette for them. Then they have Dylan Harper. The Knicks have Shamet, who's been spectacular for them. I don't know what happened or whatever. He's been great. And then they have Deuce McBride, who's also been pretty good. So I think it's going to be a good series. You know what I'm saying? I personally think the Knicks is going to win. And the reason why also is because when Wimby decides he wants to be a shooting guard and not be down there in that paint, they lose. Like you could just look it up. Anytime he decides that he wanna shoot threes all day and just be on the outside and not be in the middle, they lose the game. That's how I see it.
I'm gonna go Knicks in six. I like if it goes seven, I'm gonna give it to San Antonio because they got home court. If they able to stretch it to seven, I think they pull it off. I'm going to go Knicks just because that team is a little more veteran. They've been close. They got that hunger. Who I want to win is San Antonio because Wimby, my favorite player right now. Wimby got that dog, that villain. You know, he Deadpool. He the anti-hero. He don't mind some people not liking him because he that competitive. And that's what the NBA been missing, in my opinion. Is that guy that's who Kobe was. You know, you love Kobe, but a lot of people hate Kobe. A lot of people could stand Kobe. Same thing for Mike, right? You're looking at the guys that people love and hate for the same reason, their competitive edge. So with Wimby, I love that he's bringing that back to the court. A guy that he's got an edge, attitude. I want to see this dude win. I think they can eventually. But I'm gonna get a slight edge to the veteran team and go Knicks in six. If it goes seven again, I think the Spurs put it off and can say in seven. I think the Knicks know that too. So that's the other thing. If they get to that, they're gonna close that thing in Madison Square. Man. They ain't gonna let
hell
that
with all that, man. I want New York to lose 4-0.
Sweet. Personal feelings, I want the Spurs.
I think it's their destiny, bro.
No, it's never
been. Yeah, none of that.
Because you don't understand, man. If New York win this championship, man, it's gonna get like how they feel about the rap. They feel like they just better than the entire universe, man. Trust me, I don't want them to win because I know what it's gonna be, man.
Yeah, you're right. I don't want that again. If I get to pick. And it's only because I don't like San Antonio, even way going back to the Tim Duncan, Dave Robinson days, just too fundamental. Like, you can't deny Tim Duncan is the most underrated player to ever play the game. Most underrated. Like, and he still get his credit, but it's like, yeah, you never hear people put Tim in the top 10. They always squeeze him out of there. You know, I'm a huge Olajuwon fan. Olajuwon fan gets squeezed out of those top two. Tim Duncan kind of in that same range. It's like less respect for big man. But man, Tim was an automatic double-double in a game that wasn't pretty. That shit wasn't pretty, man. Wasn't flashy, no finesse. He not that. He quiet. You know,
fucking bank shots.
Yeah. 1976 basketball. He like, oh, this shit. But he was so good, bro. He was so good.
25-12. He gained, though. 25-12, putting up numbers.
And he's trouble on the defensive side. You got a night when he's playing the boy. You got a night. So that's who they typically represent to me still. Only thing I like about the Spurs is the jerseys. I like the little black and silver. Other than that, I ain't with them. But anyways, had to touch on that real quick since the finals getting ready to kick off. Let's get into this recruiting. class we got going on, man. Like I spoke on earlier, currently the number three class in the nation. 17 commitments up to this point. So we had a couple of commitments last week we spoke on, and then we just ended up getting two more commitments. So the most recent commitments we have were DeMarco Jenkins out of Pearland, Texas. Big boy, 6'3". He listed at 6'3", 307. He's a composite three-star guy. So this is an eval take. He's not, you know, this definitely ain't the flashy take. His composite, he's 439 in the nation, number 51 at D-line, number 58 in Texas. So this is definitely one of those takes where this is an evaluation by, you know, Damian Lewis. Just a guy that they were willing to invest in. You know, we took our swings on the top tier D tackles and didn't get out, you know, didn't seal the deal with those guys. But I also commend this staff in having a contingency plan, but not just anything. It seems like they get guys that they legitimately enjoy, legitimately like. And so I think that's who he is in this process. You know, and he's probably a little heavier than I would think in general that Heatherman likes, but he's not, you know, he's not carrying a lot of bad weight either. I think he could probably trim up a little bit and maybe get down to like a 295 range, and he might be at his optimal.
Yeah, they actually want him to stay around that range because they'll
kind of stick there.
Yeah, that one technique where he, you know what I'm saying, taking on a lot of double teams. And that's really why we took him, because they seen his film and they seen enough that he can take on double teams and still be effective.
You know? Yeah, he's not, even at that 307, it's not a lot of bad weight. So, yeah, you would just kind of fine tune it. So, yeah, I can see them wanting to keep him right around there. He may naturally drop a few once he gets into they kind of, you know, that college training program, a little bit of that Miami heat. You know, Texas hot, but it's a little different. That humidity down South Florida, a little bit, it hit a little harder than some of that stuff they got out there. But yeah, this was a Damian Lewis package, to my understanding, where this was just a guy, you know, Damian being a Texas guy too, so he got his connects out there. We beat out basically in this one down the stretch. It pretty much was SMU and TCU. Are the two teams we beat out there. And I think also this was, you know, kind of to the point of where we spoke on this earlier, where Miami is going to be in a position right now, or they put themselves in a position right now of turning kids away. So I think in this particular commitment, it was, hey, you going to push the button or what? Not no hard feelings, but we're going to pivot. Because this class, to my understanding, and you can speak to it, X, doesn't look like it's going to be that large. I keep hearing that repeated. What do you think on that, number one?
Well, it's still going to be large. I think they talking about more so of NIL effective large. You know what I'm saying? Like, it ain't going to be 28 players that's NIL effective or chose Miami because NIL. You know what I'm saying? So it'll be like maybe 21. You got that's really getting big NIL deals, and then the rest is, you know, developmental players. Well, you see, like the Josh Johnson and the DeMarco Jenkins. I'm trying to see who else. Ford is another one. We most likely want to have a huge NIL deal, so you know they'll get their little, you know, change here and there, but it's not big. So that's what they're basically talking about. And then, you know, the people who keep saying it's going to be a small class, not taking into account where, you know, in reality of college football today, you're going to lose players in the portal. So we got to keep that number up. You know what I'm saying? So if you lose players, then where are you going to get other players from?
What number you think it ends up at? Because I'm being led to believe 20. It's kind of the number. But where do you think it could get up
to? The number's still going to be 25 to 28. You know what I'm saying? It might not get to 28, but 25 is still always
you
the number.
You think you realistically can see 25?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think – so if it goes that way, I get what you're saying. It would be maybe some of these lower guys that they evaluate. Like,
yeah.
That won't be necessarily ranked on the high end of things, but – we give you a legitimate chance, but we're not going to compensate you at a high level. I can see that.
That could
make all sense in the world. I mean, and that makes sense too, because you know that's up to them kids at that point, right? Like, say with DeMarco Jenkins, SMU's doing well. You know, that's Dallas, they got decent money. If he chooses to come to Miami over SMU, where they offered him a higher compensation package, then that just speaks to he believes in what we're doing. And so he investing in himself and trusting in himself to say, nah, I think my ultimate trajectory and what would serve me best would be to go to Miami. I think what we're doing right now, I can see that happening with some of these three-star kids for sure. Be interesting to see how it all plays out. Yeah, I know certain guys ain't saying no regardless, like a Mark Matthews. I don't, you know, of course they're gonna stay there. He's local. They're gonna keep, you know, chipping away, seeing if anything wanna shake with him. And they're gonna make room for him and get him the money.
From what I was told too, DeMarco Jenkins, he's gonna get a ball. In recruiting services, he'll get a bump. It's like three of our guys who actually gonna get bumps, where they probably won't be four stars. Three stars any longer. So, you know, again, like I said, I don't really pay attention to the ranking and anything like that. But that's just, you know what I'm saying, some stuff that I was hearing about him and like two other commits we got. But
yeah, can't touch some stars.
I think even with the other kids that might get bumps, I think Josh Johnson is gonna get a bump. I guess they was impressed with, you know what I'm saying, his junior season, and you know, they want to see kind of what he does this year. I think he's probably gonna have a good year still, so I can see him getting a bump. I can see Jenkins getting a bump, and I can see the cornerback, Sherrod Gardine. I can see him getting a bump also.
But Dean is one where they said another one is going to get a bump. So,
you know, it's funny now. Yeah. I think if you look around, right, just in social media and all these lists and stuff, Miami getting that respect nationally. So it's funny how, you know, fans will say players will get a Miami drop. They will commit to Miami and then they lose a star or they'll drop some rankings. And I think, ironically, the way we're viewed right now, I think players come here and get a Miami bump instead of that drop. Because right now we hot as fish grease out there. You know, coming off the Natty, you see all these lists that circulate all the time. And we at the top, we at the top for wide receiver room, defensive line, running back room, whatever, quarterbacks, whatever. Even I think Mints are getting slighted a little bit, which I like. That's a little more edge to come in with. We're in a lot of those lists. So we'll see. Then the other commit we got is D-Rob's, his linebacker one. Me and Meezy, our linebacker one was A.J. Randall. But this was your guy, man. Got your guy, Noah Gray. Yeah. How you feeling, baby?
Oh, man, I'm ecstatic, man. I've wanted that kid since day one. Once I seen that they gave him an offer and I was looking at the film, I said, ooh, that kid, for me, I thought, yeah, he kind of reminds me of Chris Cole a little bit. Somebody gave another comparison, which was also, it was pretty accurate. But it's like, man, boy, hey, Kirby wanted this kid bad. When I say he wanted him bad. Kid took like five visits to Georgia. I just love the film, man. Like I said, he's not a small linebacker. They have like 6'2", I think like 210 or something like that. Mm-hmm. Enough to put on a little weight and get him up to like about 230 or something like that, which is perfect. Yeah, man, it, it's It's I'm happy, man. Heatherman is recruiting his ass off right now. We had, like I said, we haven't had like this as far as recruiting linebackers. We haven't had this since, and I tweeted about it since like Quarterman and Pinckney and like we haven't had like good linebacker commits since then. So it's like I'm just extremely happy, man, and like I just can't put it no other way.
Yeah, you got your guy, Rob. You got your guy. I said it from the get go. You had Kaden Henderson, Noah, and then once Randall got in the picture, I was like, you know what I'm saying? Those are the three guys, and you got two of them so far. So yeah, we recruiting linebackers good now, finally, because last year we only got one, I think.
Gotta kind of elevate that room. It's been a lot of misses in that room, so I think it's time to elevate the floor again and see if we can get some more. Composite 4, number 3 in the state. He's from Virginia. He's number 3 in the state, number 10 linebacker in the nation, number 154 national overall player. So just outside of that top 150. I like those two. I like this kid too. His range, you know, some length, instincts, violence. It looks exactly how you want it to look. You know, they got him, like I said, they got, I think 6'2 probably is more accurate listing. 247 still got him listed at 6'1, but I've seen some other stuff listed at 6'2. And I think that's probably fairly accurate for this guy.
He legitimately 6'2, maybe between 205 and 210. So, you know, he come in and probably put on 15 pounds and get to 225 by time he's ready to step on the field. But
yeah, it is. So, you know, real quick, what do you make of the visit, right? So it was a big visit weekend. We previewed it all coming into it. And we had four linebackers come in. One was Randall, already committed. You had Glover, you had Mayfield, and you had Kaden Henderson. And I think, Glover had more visits set up, right?
Before he committed, he had more visits.
Yeah,
because he was going to go back to Georgia.
Yeah.
I think
it was LSU. Let me see if I can see his list. I had it up a second ago, I believe. Yeah, he had a couple more visits lined up. So what do you kind of take from like that? I felt like it was a strategy, a move by them guys, which I like. Where it was like, whoever pushed the button is in, and he, you know.
I don't want to say it was that. I want to say he. So what I got from both him and Henderson was the fact that they talked about playing together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, once Glover experienced, the visit was just amazing for him. And then, you know, once they took him and gave him basically the game plan of how they would use him on the field and then what they would do once he leaves the school, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that, he was just like, yeah, I can't not commit to these guys, you know. So he was really finna commit on the spot on Saturday, but he held off to Sunday, and then, you know, like I say, when I spoke with him, he was basically saying that he think Henderson is gonna commit to Miami also. So I was like, man, if that happened, boy, y'all just don't know what y'all finna do. Like, y'all finna do something special at Miami.
Yeah, well, that would take us back to the Quarterman, Pinckney, and McLeod, right?
Yeah, we're getting,
you know, three top linebackers. He did have three more visits set up. He had Georgia, A&M, and Notre Dame. He was supposed to go see all three of them. So
Those are canceled. Ain't happening.
Yeah, ain't pulling up. Kirby hot as shit. He couldn't pull up Georgia if he wants to right now.
the crazy thing is. Well, no, I'll speak about this one once we get to his name. But, yeah, like, it's, man, this weekend was amazing for those guys. And you know, we know what Miami do, man. Miami do special things for them, man. They, you know, basically Kaden Henderson and Jaden Bryant, although they was there with the rest of the commits, they, you know, they kind of had like a little something extra and special for those two. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah, I heard that. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, man. So
rolled out the ultra red for the boys.
Yes, sir.
It was something different. You know what I'm saying? It's something that I never. Yeah, the only I don't know for Mario tenure. I don't know if we did that. I mean, well, I've seen that before. So,
well, they took it to that level.
Yeah, but yeah, Noah. Like I said, Noah was going to end up committing Saturday, but he held off to Sunday. It just. Sunday, man, I was so busy, man. Like, even when the commission was happening, I was, you know what I'm saying, busy. Then I'm, like, trying to give the villains and from Caneville Discord information. And once I gave them that, then, it, like, everything happened so fast. Like, the commits happened back-to-back so fast. Well, I couldn't even get the NOAA information out. But, you know, like I said, I gave, you know, when I wrote the little thing earlier that day, and I gave it to y'all, you know, I was basically telling them, like, yeah, man, we finna have something good happen. So, yeah, we got two linebackers. The third
you
one.
You think it's world we can get three? You think we can
get the third one Henderson coming. The third one coming.
So how did that work? They just fight it out? Just let them fight it out? And
man.
Get two spots?
Yeah, Henderson, yeah, no. You like Henderson, the number one linebacker nation. if man, you don't say no.
No, man, I'm talking about
he's like a true Mike.
You talking about make all see from a Miami standpoint? Sure.
Yeah.
I'm saying for them, would that just ultimately be the game plan?
Oh yeah, nah. They so Henderson is being he's going to be the true Mike. He's going to be the true Mike. You know what I'm saying? And then Randall. It'll just be like Mike, it'll be just like that. You know what I'm saying? Those guys will be the willed and the strong. You know what I'm saying? And Shaq, which would be Henderson, is the Mike. You know, but we know only two gonna play. You know what I'm saying? So it'll basically be like Noah and Randall battling out the play. Henderson to have that.
But see what Manny running the defense too. We have more 4-3 looks too then. So it more. So I like it because that tells me these guys ready to compete and just get on the field and fight it out, which is what you always want. You always want too much talent, you know, to where it's like iron sharpens iron. That's how it really happens. And then if you got the right culture and the right mindset with these kids, you look at a guy like Samson Okolola, right? Samson could have been left. He could have folded up shop and got money elsewhere and got to play. You know, a full-time starting role. He opted not to. He opted to stay in, fight it out, and, you know, now he's finally earning that spot on the field. So, you know, it could be a situation like that. It'd be very interesting to see how it all plays out if we're able to get Kaden Henderson in this class. I mean, oof.
and the whole thing, again, was, like, Kaden Henderson say he can come in and start next year. He feel like he can come in and start next year, Mike.
I mean, hey, he can if he can take it. That's just what it is. We keep having freshman All-American, so we know his class status ain't going to be what's stopping. We not going to also put him out there. Miami not going to put him out there because he's number one linebacker. None of that's going to matter once he get up. But if he
beats
the guys out.
Definitely have to earn it.
Yeah, just same way Jax Cantwell. Jax Cantwell just year 18. He already got starting left tackle. You know, that wasn't handed to him. We got some talent enough where if we didn't have Jackson, we would have somebody else out there, but he came and took it. So,
and you know, like I said, he was like, no shade to the linebackers you got on the team, but he just say he don't think we have a linebacker on our roster that's better than him. And I was like, well, you know, you're going to have to prove it once you get here.
Let go.
You know,
that's how it's supposed to be. So, yeah, with that said, I mean, we'll kind of just run through the class in its entirety right now. We won't spend too much time.
We could just talk about the month of May. We got 8 commitments in the month of May alone. Like, we ain't even got to talk about the other Yeah, the other nine players, man. Like,
well, I wanna make sure we mention real quick our quarterback, Israel Abrams.
Izzy Abrams.
Did his thing at the Elite 11. End up, this is the first time he handed out Colt Alpha Dogs. So he went out there and did his thing, man, and put on and shine. And, you know, one thing you get to see with Izzy every time he out there, man, like he got that Cam Ward, that swagger about himself, that confidence about himself. He gonna talk that talk, man. And I'm like, yeah, I like to see shades of that, man. I don't mind that at all. A lot of times people don't care for that, but to me, I like that the tone it sets. And especially from our quarterback to come out there with an edge and then he went out there and did it, you know, proved himself. These things can mean something, they can mean nothing, but it's just ultimately good for the program and good for just Miami football in general to have a quarterback go out there and represent like that. Because, you know, the previous guys we that had any kind of chance didn't make it to this type of level. So shout out to him for what he did there. But, yeah, if you just look at May, well.
We was on a heater.
Whoo! Yeah, it's a lot in there, man.
Eight top commits. I think the only 2-3 stars we got was the defensive end.
Dawson, the Javian Dawson kid.
Dawson and DeMarco Jenkins. I mean, Jenkins is a 4-star or something, and he's a 3-star.
Yeah.
Jayvon Dawson, obviously the edge we talked about. This, he's just a guy that he's young, number one. I think he's 16. This is just a high upside kind of guy. I saw a clip of him catching a deep ball in the end zone.
Yeah.
Up snatched that. You talking about just an athletic guy. I really, you know, obviously we can't project him all the way to be a Greg Rousseau, but that's what I think. The idea is like, okay, we just got a freak athlete type kind of kid. So let's get the weight up on him and get him trained up, especially with a guy like Jason Taylor and see what he could become. So I think that's what you're looking at there. Obviously you had Ty Keys, the running back so far, the only running back in this class. You think we still get another running back, X?
Yeah, they still going to try to get another running back. I don't know if the Mychon Cook thing gonna happen because it looks like Auburn is actually trying to keep him from taking visits, and he, you know, they up and I guess they gonna, you know, give him a little more money, but they gonna go after one if it's one that's good enough that fits what they want to do. So
you think they'd be comfortable just rolling with one too?
Yeah, they definitely be comfortable because at the end of the day, all the running backs could come back outside of Mark Fletcher.
Yeah, that makes sense. Then you got Ezekiel Ayingbeal, I believe that's how you said.
Yeah.
Texas, another interior defense. Well, we don't know yet. I said interior, but
it does look like he's gonna end up playing on the inside.
He's 265 right now.
Well, no, he's 270. Yeah, okay. Saying like 278. So he's already putting on that inside weight. Yeah.
Good weight. He looked good, man. I saw him in the you know, some of the little clips that made it to social media or whatever. This kid, he don't look heavy to me at all, which is great considering he's 270 pounds. Like, it don't look like no bad weight. I mean, he got obviously good genetics. His dad was an athletic tackle, not the biggest tackle out there in Dwayne Brown. And then his mom, I think, was shot put or something like that, athlete as well. So, he come from good genetics, man. So, good size athletic kid who, yeah, could definitely, and that would kind of fit the mold of what they say Heatherman likes in this D tackle. So that would make a lot of sense if you just take him and build and add a little more weight to him. Then we already talked about obviously Glover, AJ Randall. You got
two corners, Dante, right?
Yeah, you got Wright and Hall. Which wraps up the corner class. Which come to our point of, well, yeah, I heard we was at a Florida commit. they said Said he was throwing big money at LSU and Miami was throwing a large bag at him. So apparently we still in the hunt on that. We'll see how that continues to develop. Some say this is just a money play by the kid, where he's, you know, trying to leverage some money out of the situation and act like it's a bidding war going on for him. Yet to be seen. We shall see.
Nobody bidding for that kid. Like, for one, you talk about Corey Raymond, one of the best cornerback coaches, one of the best defensive back coaches in the entire nation.
Right.
You telling me he's throwing money at you as a bidding war for you, and he's the guy that's bidding for you? Come on, man. Like, that don't even add up. Like, come on.
Yeah, and see, and then Miami, the easy name to throw out, which is so funny to me, too, is we all know that Florida invests a lot in their last recruiting cycle. Now, how much they got left to spend on this one, man, could be. You know, I heard the coach begging a little bit. So, apparently, it ain't what it was last cycle. But, last cycle, they invested quite a bit on that class.
We was never in no... that kid was reaching out to Miami before Miami was reaching out to them. And they like, no, not the kid is good. I give him that. But it was never no, oh, man, we finna throw a big major bag at you. Come on, man. Who the hell? You ain't that. Like, stop it.
Hey, you're a kid. You got to have fun with it. It's a kid, man. Yeah. The funny part is when the fans run with all that stuff. I'm like, y'all believe anything, huh?
Yeah, they
then you got the fake one. Then you got the ones that sweat their insides. Come on, man. Like, stop. Not LSU probably try to throw LSU a big bag at him because they.
LSU wasn't throwing no bag at him either. Like, all that was trolling and trying to, you know. Listen, a lot of these kids, they watch social media. They see how the trolling goes. So he's definitely watched Florida fans troll. And what was the easiest troll? Oh, man, those two schools throwing money at me because those two schools are recruiting them, but anybody throwing no money at you. You ain't that type of caliber of player to be talking about big bag, major. Come on, man, stop. Everybody ain't getting the big bags. We got
to
just.
Ain't but so many big bags to go. Yeah, man. There's nobody, I done said 1,000 times, nobody got unlimited funds. Everybody got a budget. And they ain't going over it. So, best of luck to him either way. But I think we set. I think we're pretty good at cornerback. Well, A. King Hall.
Yeah, we got three guys.
Right. Yeah, A. King. You got Sherrod Gordine and then Dante Wright. I think we comfortable with that Hall right there. I think we good.
Yep.
We appreciate the interest. Don't call us. We'll call you. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Didn't necessarily drop a phone call, man. No big thing.
Larry. Hey, write your number down, man. Just write your number down. And I'll get with you. Need to write your number down.
All day. And then obviously, the other commit, Jatori Williams, the interior offensive lineman out of Alabama. You know, we spoke of him before. Just being wise, young man. I don't blame you. Come on down. You know, I think Buchanan got one of those guard spots locked up for the future. But after that, for the next couple of years, but after that, an opportunity to come in here and grind and come get you a spot too at guard. So, we spoke on it previously. I really do think this cycle was more important to secure some role great and guards out there to replace some of the production we losing. And obviously we got Sean Tatum from out of that way too, who just came on his official as well. He locked in as well. So I'm good right there at guard as well. Kind of the class rounded out pretty well so far. I think, you know, regardless of what the number ultimately goes to, obviously we still need a safety in this class.
Yeah, we need two more receivers. We need two safeties.
You think we get two more receivers?
Tight end. Yeah,
I think it's one receiver.
Yeah, I think it's one. But I mean,
you know, it's. I mean, again, so listen, it's Mario going after some big fish, and if the big fish want in, we take. You know what I'm saying? Now, if it's just developmental receivers, then yeah, we just take one other receiver. You know what I'm saying? That goes for every other position. Like, I think we still need another tight end. We still need another two defensive ends.
Right. Jaden Bryant, we didn't get into, but he came to visit.
One possible more linebacker, two safeties, you know. And then
I can see that. So yeah, if you go by that, you got two safeties, two wideouts, two defensive ends. That'll put the class at if you just took
23,
put us at 23. And I agree. I think that's a need.
Then you got a spot. Then you have a spot for Henderson, and you have a spot for Matthews. Just like, you know what I'm saying? They have spots.
Really go to 24 because you still got to get another tight end.
It's
possible that they want another. It's possible that they going to open up a scholarship for either a kicker or a punter too. So that's why I'm saying. That's why I keep saying it's going to be 25 or more. You know.
I got you. But you know what, the way you broke it down too actually makes a lot more sense to it as well. Like talking about it, bigger NIL packages. Yeah, if we got to throw a scholarship at a punter, just to lock him down, you know he ain't getting no major money. But you know that way we can at least secure him and help secure the kicking game. That make a lot of sense. But yeah, even just thinking of it in a minimal way, I still think you at least got to get to that 23, 24. I don't see a way around it. You got to get two defensive ends. I mean, I believe we get one of the two of the two premier guys we're looking at, if not both.
I ain't gonna lie, but I'm feeling like both, boy. Especially after
speaking into existence, I'm feeling that way too. I'm hoping it go that way. So
man, that Jaden Bryant thing is. So yesterday I got on board and was telling everybody I'm on the flip. He's flipping. I mean LSU. He's going to visit LSU, and I think A&M, but they got to do something extremely cheaper. Because I don't think he's not staying with LSU. So, I put him on flip the same way I got DJ Jacobs flipping. So,
and we get both of them, man. I don't know. We gotta be number one.
Listen, them people gonna be knocking on Mario office door. You get both of them. them people was coming knocking. Mario, we need to look at your books real quick.
Right.
We need to look at something. I'm telling you,
that's real. So we'll see, man. Interesting how the rest of the wrap up. I really think it's a good class, even despite what the ranking is. You know, number three is awesome, but just talent wise, I do think this is a good class that's filling a lot of needs. If you look at some people in the past, like even when you had Willie come along with Florida State, last ranking wasn't bad, just didn't fill a lot of needs. You had a bunch of DBs. It's important to manage your roster and make sure you're putting the right positions and the priority in each cycle. I do agree we definitely need another tight end, but it don't have to necessarily be a premier guy. We can kind of go for a blocking guy, to go with DeMar DeRoach, who's going to be obviously more of a pass catcher tight end. He's going to need a certain amount of development too because he's got a slighter frame.
Yeah, he's raw. He's more so played more defense throughout his younger career. Remember, he's a basketball player also, so more so defense, but now he's not even transition. He's just going to focus more so on tight end. So
yeah, just taking it to the next level. Okay, all right. Think that covers it all. We good to go, Chef Rob. I see he getting ready to start cooking. Anyways, I ain't even been there banging on pots.
Oh, the Eli Woodrow, the wide receiver that he committed from USC. So that story was getting interesting because his quarterback from high school ended up committing to Cal, and it's a possibility he wants to play with the quarterback, which makes makes sense. So that was another one that I was kind of expecting to commit this weekend. If that situation ain't happened, with the quarterback, but
yeah, Cal trying to do their thing. Cal trying to spend a couple of dollars, them in UCLA. Yeah. They spending a few dollars to keep some of them guys, you know, out west. I ain't mad at it.
But you know what? Hey, I hope Bryson Wright had that same energy next year. He want to play with his quarterback.
that's the plan, right?
That's what we doing. Hey, man.
Hey, newsflash, D-Rob. He ain't never playing with that quarterback.
Hey, listen. That boy gonna be a clip. Hey, he holding the clipboard the whole time he here. But guess what? Hey, get him in the room. You took Jared Anderson, so you can take anything at this point.
Yeah, get him here. Just get him here, man, and we'll figure it out.
Hey, one thing about it, Pop might be a Florida State fan, but he ain't no damn fool neither.
He be popping his shit, boy. But he be keeping it real. He keep it real.
Right. He ain't going for it. That's one school I'm ruling out. Florida State have to hire Nick Saban for him to even think about it.
They have to hire the Pops. They have to hire his dad. They were literally have to hire his dad.
For them to go there. I feel you. All right, man. We're going to get up out of here. Appreciate y'all pulling up with us. We'll be back with you all very soon. The block is hot. The trail continues to sizzle. The loafers are stepping. Trajectory, baby. We up out of here.
Yeah.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
26 degrees.